Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I'm you ready, girl.
Jimmy
Jam. Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want it.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
They want it.
Good evening. That's right. Stay woke. It is Think Thursday, and you're waking up with Linda McShann. This show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, a organization with skilled advisors and consultants to help you reach your goals in leadership training, youth development, workshops, writing, all the things that we need with our focus, focus, focus on our youth out here. This evening, you know, we have a wonderful, I would say educational program going on for you today. You know, we're going to bring on the president of the EAPD, that's East Area Progressive Democrats. So get your pens and pencils ready because he's going to give you some things to think about. And I'd like to say yay, yay for this beautiful weather that we're having, and to remind you that the planets are all in alignment out there. So therefore, we must align ourselves with kindness, love, and justice. And we want to also send prayers out to the areas for experiencing the tornadoes, and prayers and understanding to those a bit out of balance. This is what it's all about here. I'm going to play a little bit of this and get your mind ready because Hans Johnson, the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats, coming on, and he has something that he wants you to think about. Welcome in.
Yeah,
right. You got to give the people what they want. And this gentleman is coming on with us, Hans Johnson, president of the EAPD. You know, the EAPD is relentless in making the correct changes needed. They believe in decency, diversity, no distraction, and no destruction. If there's a situation out there that needs to be righted, you want the East Area Progressive Democrats with you. It is the largest Democratic club in California, over 1,000 members. And if you got an issue, that is who you want to team up with, and that is who you want to move with you. So I am delighted to invite Hans Johnson with us this evening. We're getting him back to back here. I am so excited, Hans. Good evening. Thank you. I know you're busy. Thank you. Welcome in. How are you doing?
It's great to be back. It's great to be back, Linda. Thank you. You're going to make Queen Latifah jealous. You make me sound like the Equalizer, and you make our club sound as powerful as the forces of justice that I think she commands. But you know what? We've got a lot of work that we're engaged in, and we are coming up for air after a very important day last Thursday that was not just the indictment of the former defeated president, but was also a noteworthy day because it brought the conviction on 7 counts of bribery and fraud of the former county supervisor and suspended city council member, Mark Ridley Thomas. And while some entities like the Los Angeles Times try to deflect attention away by saying things such as, oh, no one should be cheering, no one should be taking any satisfaction from this important set of verdicts, that's really not the point. The point is that the system of the rule of law and holding people accountable, even in exalted positions of power and decision-making authority, that these guilty verdicts signify is a really important step in holding corruption of public decision making and of government accountable. And we haven't had a great track record here in Los Angeles recently of honesty and integrity in governance. We've had several horrific lapses. And Mark Ridley Thomas's conviction makes him the 3rd L.A. City Council member to be held accountable for crimes while in a position of public authority, albeit his crimes taking place during his tenure as a supervisor. But I just want to make sure that we take a moment to recognize some of the people who played a role in blowing the whistle and bringing this important measure of accountability, and those who sadly played along or played into the hands of the campaign for exoneration that the former supervisor was running leading up to this trial that stretched on through much of last month in March.
Well, you know, Hans, if anyone got the information and is going to get it done right, it is you out there. That's why I was speaking. If you want the wrong righted, you want to get the EAPD because you guys sniff it out, get out there, and you believe in what I believe in, being aware. See it, stand up, and speak out, and get the job done. That is why I'm so very proud over here to be a part of the EAPD, and it was you, sir, that got me back on the sidewalks or out on the sidewalks with the clipboard and all of that. You know, you're responsible for this. And I've been kind of lagging back, but I'm ready to move out again. And I noticed here that you have a dailynews.com. What is that article? That is it something? This is the beginning. What, tell us about that.
Yeah, the Daily News, the second paper of record here in Los Angeles. You know, we do have more than just one daily newspaper here, and the Daily News outlet is part of a chain of 11 local newspapers here throughout Orange County, Los Angeles County, and beyond. And I have a new article out tonight that assesses some of the people who are heroes and zeros in the Mark Ridley Thomas corruption case that resulted in his conviction on 7 counts of bribery and fraud. You know, that those verdicts came down last Thursday, and even in the wake of those convictions, you know, the public relations campaign by Mark Ridley Thomas and his allies to try to downplay, to minimize, and even to excuse his crimes has continued. And it's been very, very disappointing that public relations campaign, which I would say succeeded before his trial in making people hush up about the case and not talk openly about the charges and the seriousness of what he was accused of and the evidence that indicated his wrongdoing and culpability in that web of influence peddling and favor-seeking and self-dealing by him and his son, that continued even after the verdict. So it's really important for Angelenos to pay attention to this verdict, these verdicts in the 7 counts by which he was found guilty. And it's also important to recognize that there is a pattern of people in positions of power, especially politicians who have garnered resources from friends and cronies over the years. You know, Mark Ridley Thomas built up 2 legal defense funds to wage a political campaign leading up to his trial to try to convince Angelenos that there was nothing to see here, that he'd done nothing wrong, and that this this trial was merely an exercise in exonerating him. And that's very, very disappointing. People gave thousands of dollars to those legal defense funds, including the former owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Frank McCourt, who donated some $25,000 to one of those funds. And so it's very important in the wake of those verdicts to talk about the facts involved in the case and also to reassert that he committed crimes and that the pattern of facts involved in his criminal wrongdoing of funneling money from campaign funds through charities that made themselves complicit in this scheme to funnel money from campaign accounts back to the University of Southern California to help pay for a sinecure, a no-show job, a letterhead-type position for the son of the disgraced former supervisor and suspended city council member who just had resigned from the state legislature in December of 2017 under the cloud of sexual harassment, that those entities that made themselves complicit in that scheme need to be called out. And we can't accept this kind of conduct in our institutions, and we can't accept it from elected officials. And when a jury has to go through the diligent work of being the line of defense for wrongdoing and to stand up to try to hold a person in an exalted position accountable to the law, we need to pay attention to that. We need to take it seriously, and it cannot be brushed under the rug. So I'm doing my part to try to make sure that story gets told and that some of the other people who come off, I would say, favorably and disfavorably in the course of that trial get named. And I'm happy to talk a little bit more about that article if you'd like to talk about who some of those heroes and zeros are.
You know, Hans, you're on here. You've taken out time. We need that information. We need to be updated, and we need to be made aware. Take it away. Whatever you feel, I'm here. Please, talk to us.
Well, I pay particular attention to the fact that, you know, you are a constituent of District 10. So we're talking about your suspended city council member who was brought back to represent you on city council in November of 2020, even after he had done these deeds as a county supervisor to essentially use the public's resources as a supervisor as bargaining chips in this period when he was chair of the board of supervisors in LA County. It's not just that he was one of five supervisors. He did this during his period as chair of the board of supervisors. And that should not be lost on people about how he wrongly felt he could essentially thumb his nose at the law and that he could get away with it because perhaps no one would be paying attention and it would be lost in the crush of other business, including at that time all the other issues we were facing from the Trump administration and its effort to break down accountability and to undercut human rights and people's trust in the integrity of government and the operations of our state. But in any case, just to get to the facts here, you know, one of the two of the entities that I call out in the column for being zeros, for essentially being complicit in the scheme of funneling this $100,000 from political campaign accounts back to USC is the University of Southern California itself and the local United Way. They both came complicit in this scheme to launder campaign funds back around so that Sebastian Ridley Thomas could be the beneficiary of them. And a third person whom I name as a zero in this case is the former chair of the Federal Elections Commission, Ann Ravel, who also was chair of the Fair Political Practices Commission here in the state of California. She created such confusion by her testimony before jurors that somehow this money funneling scheme was legal, that they had to ask for clarification from the judge after her testimony. And it's just very disappointing that speaking out about campaign finance, she overlooked the illegality of the charitable organizations involved here, essentially being involved in a self-dealing scheme. Charities can't do that. And so for her to say this was legal when charities were engaging in violations of tax law by being complicit in a scheme to funnel money was really, really disappointing and a real dropping of the ball, to say the least, by someone who is looked to as an expert and as an exemplar of ethics and speaking out in about ethics in government and public policy. So that was a very serious lapse by a former official here in California who has built a reputation for probity during her long career, and that she, like several other people, would go and testify on behalf of disgraced former supervisor Ridley Thomas in that trial is a very upsetting reminder that, unfortunately, people whom you might otherwise trust or look to as role models in public policy or in public life will do the wrong thing and will bend to suasion by someone who asks nicely for them to come to bat for him when he is finally facing overdue accountability for wrongdoing. So those are some of the zeros, but I think it's also worth talking about the heroes in this case. And the person who I think is most worthy of being designated a hero is the whistleblower inside USC who saw this scheme taking place and raised a red flag and said, you know, why in the world is this institution of higher learning a charity? Why is it engaged in these money transfers? It raised a hackle on behalf of that person, and that person spoke up. And because that person spoke up, a whole chain of events has ensued that brought to light this influence peddling scheme and the bribery and fraud that the former dean of a social work school was engaged in with Mark Ridley Thomas to funnel the money and to use a county contract as consideration in the scheme to push the son of the disgraced former supervisor into this position at USC. Two other people who deserve credit, who are heroes of the process of whistleblowing, are former city council member Mitchell Farrell, who brought the resolution forward to suspend Mark Ridley Thomas from city council once the indictment came down in October of 2021. Mitch O'Farrell lost his reelection just this last fall. Ethics and respect for some of the positions that he took on ethics and openness and transparency in city government did not play a very big role in people's weighing of his credentials or his performance as a council member. I just want to flag that, you know, when people do the right thing around ethics and holding even colleagues accountable, in the case of Mark Ridley Thomas, we have seen the kind of public relations campaign and efforts to play upon consideration of his past good acts or even on racial identity to have very divisive arguments made about somehow he shouldn't be held accountable because of his past work for racial justice or for police accountability. To have someone stand up and do the right thing in the face of such political campaign arguments against accountability really shows backbone, and we need more appreciation for lawmakers and office holders who do the right thing when it comes to holding corruption accountable. And the other two people who deserve credit are County Supervisors Hilda Solis, in particular, who along with her colleague Catherine Barger authored a motion to investigate whether there were any other instances of pay-to-play or self-dealing by themselves or by Supervisor Ridley Thomas while on the Board of Supervisors, to name it, to account for it through an outside audit or investigation to see whether there are any such instances. That report is still we're still waiting on that report from the outside law firm, but I think it's really reflects very well that Supervisor Solis led that effort because she understands the poisoning of public trust that goes on when someone like her colleague uses public resources to advance their own interests. And that has a long ripple effect of a negative kind on willingness of the public to trust that level of governance, to trust the people involved, and to even perhaps bother to vote and engage in the work of advocacy and voting. If you think that the game is rigged, and if you think the people are untrustworthy, that they're just there to feather their own nest or to advance their own family members, you know, you've got to undo that impression. And shining the light of transparency on county government itself is a necessary antidote to the kind of taint that results from tactics and wrongdoing like Mark Ridley Thomas has now been found to have engaged in by a jury of his peers in the verdicts that came down last week. So I ultimately just want to thank the jury too. You know, lost in much of the hoopla around the verdicts from last Thursday was respect for the hard work of that jury.
Yes.
And as I say in the column, you know, jurors, the FBI, federal court proceedings, and the good work of jurors should not be the front line in standing up for ethics in politics and governance in our county or in our state or at any level of our government. That primary frontline responsibility resides with voters, resides with us, the people who are in charge of making decisions of who is elected to represent us, who is not. And we really ought to thank those jurors, because jury service is another way of performing a civic duty. And while juries should not be the front line of defense for public integrity, in this case, they had to play that role because, unfortunately, voters had not done the necessary work to scrutinize and weed out a public official who had engaged in self-dealing and putting his own interests and perhaps those of his family member ahead of the public interest. And so if folks want to take a look at that, it's my article is up on the Daily News at dailynews.com. here in Los Angeles, and I think it's probably up on the other papers of the Daily News chain at the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, sgvtribune.com, and perhaps a few others in that Southern California news group chain.
Well, Hans Johnson, you know, that's why I am so fortunate and blessed and smiling over here to be honored to know someone such as yourself, because it's full of you are ethics, integrity, and getting the job done. And not only does it happen in the political arena, it happens in the just people. You know, they see this. They see this under table, underhanded type of thing, and they bring it on into their private lives. I mean, there's many organizations out here that think that that's okay. But when you are individual like Mitchell Farrell, you know, I love Mitchell Farrell, standing up, using integrity, transparency, and doing the right thing, they don't want those type of people because then those type of people will be able to sniff them out, okay? And as we say, whistleblow and say something is not right with this picture. My family has always taught me to create the darn trouble, okay? So I'm a troublemaker. So if I see something that doesn't look quite right, or if I feel that, hey, wait a minute, of course, I'm not too popular, but I'm not here for popularity. Okay, it's we the people, me the people, all of us the people. And even when you met me years ago, you kept saying, Linda, I said, no. I'm not coming. I'm really not into the political. I don't like politics. You lie to the people. And you can't dodge your head. Why should we dodge our head? Because if you lie to the people, they're going to be shooting bullets, and I'm going to stand on the other side of the sidewalk with them until I found out what the EAPD really was about. Yeah. No, we're not that. We go in, and if they're voted in, and they don't do what they say they're to do, then we clear it up. Then that put a smile on my face because, see, that means trouble to me. And that means making good trouble. I move a little low and slow. But Hans Johnson, if the job has to be done, I will be reading the article. I'll keep posting it out there. Feelings of that. I've been victims of retaliation because I stand up and speak out and speak up. And I don't care who I do it to. You know, if it's incorrect, it's incorrect. If you don't have any ethics and any integrity, then I can't be a part of you. Okay, it just didn't flow that way.
And you know, we can't let it become business as usual. The issue with corruption, like we saw in this in these seven guilty verdicts, is that you cannot let that become business as usual, because then it all falls apart, and our whole system, our not only our rule of law, but our democracy falls apart, even here in Los Angeles. And I'm very quick to point this out, that this is especially important for Democrats. You know, Democrats are the majority of our county. Democrats are the majority of our elected representatives at the county and at the state level. And we have to show that even in elections where we have Democrats running against other Democrats, or top two elections that are Democrat versus Democrat, we have to systematically choose and we have to scrutinize the candidates so that we elect the better Democrat. And ethics, abiding by standards of ethics, of transparency, of avoiding conflicts of interest, of signing pledges to avoid retaliation, like you talked about, and of not having your hand in the till or in the interests that you're voting on. Those kinds of pledges and that track record of scrupulous fulfillment of those standards needs to be something that we factor into which candidate we vote for. And if we don't do that work, we're going to flounder, and we're going to unfortunately undercut the willingness of people to vote. And if we do that work, I think we will get more honorable elected officials who are willing to look carefully at their colleagues, but also not be so quick to pass legislation in which they may have an interest, or which may play to the benefit of cronies or even of family members. That ethics need to play a higher role in our priorities and in our recipe of what makes a good candidate, and we need to rebuild a sense that we can hold all people accountable, and that elections matter and that voting matters, because it's not just a game where, quote unquote, everybody does it. When someone does it, they need to be held accountable, and the voters deserve nothing less.
I'm in full agreement with you there. You know, I sort of like pull back, and sometimes I raise up because, you know, coming from my family, my political family, so I've been running from this and running from this, but it's in my blood. Right is right, and wrong is wrong, and it cannot be business as usual. And when you call persons up to their incorrectness, they don't care for that, but what they don't understand, the person that's calling them out, I have no fear. They see it and they're going to speak on it. So I take pride in being the type of person that has the character, as I can say, and the guts to speak on what I see. And if you don't like it, my attitude is take an aspirin. If you're out here for the people, then be for the people. And if I see any unethical thing, I'm going to speak up about it and just go take aspirin. I've been a part of many, many organizations, and when I see bad governance, I get away from it, because that's not what you're putting out there. Do what you say you do. And in the money situation, and in the family situation, and, you know, in this case, of course, I always say racism, ageism, nepotism. You know, you're always going to call your cousin first, okay, when in different situations. But I'm in agreement with you. I'm going to go back to the article. I am so glad that I'm a part, and I know you, Hans, because you've always moved with integrity, honesty, and sheer ethics out there in whatever needs to be done. And listeners, if you want to get with an organization that does the right thing and right all wrongs, you want to take membership in the East Area Progressive Democrats. They do not play around. They do what they say they do. I'm going to have Queen Latifah looking out for you, but I put you a notch ahead of her. You are the equalizer when it comes down to, you know, delivering and helping the people. I am so appreciative that you took out the time. Oh, and the pictures, travel and your journey. Thank you, thank you. I just wanted to jump in the suitcase in the back sack and be out there with you guys. you went everywhere.
Thank you, Linda. One other thing I just want to tease is that we have a meeting coming up on the 25th of April. We're trying to come back safely in person, in large part, but also make it a hybrid meeting so people can continue to join in EAPD for our monthly meetings online. And one of our special guests this month is Nikki High, the owner and operator of Octavia's Bookshelf, a black woman-owned bookstore newly opened in Pasadena. It's a really exciting addition to the community. Nikki High will be joining us for the EAPD meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, April 25th. So if anyone is interested, just drop a line to eapd.la@gmail.com. We will get you the link and the coordinates for that meeting. If you want to join online, you can join that way. If you want to join in person, we'll have that option open to you as well. So look forward to that. And thank you again for having me, Linda, and I'll make sure that we get this article up and out to as many Angelinos as possible, and it's there posted on the EAPD Facebook page tonight.
Hans Johnson, thank you. Listeners, Hans Johnson, president of the EAPD, East Area Progressive Democrats. You know, Hans, before I let you go, I've always wondered about this, and I've asked many people. We hear about the liberals and the conservatives. Why is it that the progressives shake up everybody? Just give me a little, what is that about? I'm still in my learning stage over here. Can you answer that for me?
Why do progressives shake up everybody?
Yeah, you hear a lot of talk of the conservatives, the right, the left, but then they'll say the progressives, but they don't, you know, something about the progressives that move a little bit differently. What is that?
I think the gist, as I've said in other interviews, including in Spectrum News and other contexts, that, you know, being a progressive really is not just about substance. It's also about process. Generally, progressives align with liberals, but there is a strain and a history and a tradition of progressivism in this country that is not just about substance like human rights advocacy, public schools, environmental justice, women's rights and LGBT equality, and reform, including police accountability. But I think there is an important strand of progressivism, which is about the process of doing politics, and that instead of relying on big interests for funding sources, progressives tend to believe deeply in a broad base of individual small donors and having popular participation in both action, in political action, but also in political giving and in drawing a large swath of people to help fuel campaigns. So there's also a long-standing tradition of nonviolent problem solving amongst progressives and an aversion to war making. So there is a progressive tradition that is both about policy and about the process of political movement and politicking that does cut across the traditional spectrum of ideology. So there used to be even a strand of progressive conservatism. In fact, you know, the Tory party in Canada actually calls themselves, used to call themselves the Progressive Conservatives. And that tradition mm-hmm. is all but gone in this country because mm-hmm. you really no longer have any Republicans who hew to what could be called a progressive line. Now progressivism is really wholly within the Democratic Party and the Democratic coalition in the United States. But I think part of what you're seeing and part of what you're sensing is that progressives are not so easily captured by Democratic loyalty. And so there are many progressives who are willing to stand up to Democrats and within the Democratic Party and to say, we can do better, and to not necessarily hew easily to the party line. I think that aspect of progressivism lives on in our club, and it's why you can see people such as myself standing up even in this column to saying, look, Democrats, we have to do better. When there are people who are claiming themselves as Democratic standard bearers like Mark Ridley Thomas, who are holding themselves up as above the law or beyond the reach of the law and trying to run campaigns of exoneration when ultimately a very diligent jury finds him guilty of 7 counts of bribery and fraud. You know, that's not a Democratic model of any type. That is not a role model for advocacy. Right. And I think it's also disturbing. One aspect of this case that cuts to that very issue is that you can't run away from accountability by saying that you did great things in the past or you've been advocating for great things now. That doesn't cut it. That is not acceptable. You can't skirt the law by saying that you have done good things in the past or have noble priorities now. And so I would even fault some of my fellow progressives sometimes for not taking ethics and honesty and integrity in governance into account sufficiently in how candidates are considered and how endorsements are weighed and made. I tried to be faithful to some of those aspects and strands of the progressive tradition. And I also want to push progressives who are sometimes a little bit too content in their racial homogeneity. You know, progressivism has traditionally been a term applied by Anglo activists in the United States. And I've been on way too many so-called progressive calls that were way too pale, male, and stale. And so even progressives have to do a lot better on eliminating caste privilege and racial privilege in our ranks. And when people start falling back on casual lines like, oh, you know, who's the real progressive or who's the true progressive, I think they need to unpack sometimes the racial privilege and the notions of homogeneity and purity that play into some of that nomenclature. So progressives are not above reproach or beyond fault ourselves, but that's just a little bit of background, I think, in answering your question.
Well, I appreciate that, and I knew that you were going to be the one that could put it out there so I could have other listeners listen in and understand. And again, before I let you go, we want you to, first of all, the meeting on the 25th, aapd.la@gmail.com, get that information. And if you want to be a part of someone that's getting the job done, look at the EAPD. You just heard it from President Hans Johnson. You see the good things that they do. You see the courage that's there and the wrongs that they right. Hans, we appreciate you. I am so excited over here that I got you so close, back to back. I love you. I will try to make the 25th. That is the show night. But we can make some arrangements because it's about time for me to show my face, don't you think? So
yes,
let's see how
I
can work that out.
Thank you,
Linda. Thank you, Hans. Have a wonderful evening. Love you, love you, love you. Hans Johnson, the president of the East Area Progressive Democrats, gave you something to think about, didn't he?
Some people. Don't let it courage I need.
Briefly and play you some music to start your happy Easter holiday with. And happy Easter out there to all who celebrate. Life is worth living.
Collaborate.
They want
we give, showing others how to live.